Please give me your full name, including your maiden name.
Okay, my maiden name is Dorothy Johnson. And my married name, Dorothy Trice.
And do you mind telling me when you were born?
I was born September 12, 1926.
And where were you born?
I was born in Valdosta, Georgia.
Valdosta? Is that a small town?
Yes. It might be larger now, though.
Yes.
But it was a small town.
Yes. How long did you live there?
Let's see, possibly about 16 or 17 years.
Mm-hmm. And then?
Then I went to Lake Placid, Florida, and was there maybe 2 years. And from there to Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you left when you were 16 or 17, had you been to high school?
I went to high school, but I had not finished high school.
I see.
I think I stopped in about eighth grade.
I see. Uh-huh. Was it a segregated school?
Well, yes.
Mm-hmm. Most schools were at that time, weren't they?
Oh, yes. That's many years.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you have any particular memories of what it was like in that school?
Let's see, well, you know, just when that's what you're used to, you just go to school.
Oh, yes.
And you assume this is the way everybody do it. Mm-hmm. Just go to school and learn. And
Now, you don't have a trace of a Southern accent now. I imagine you did at that time have an accent.
Well,
what we call a Southern accent.
Yeah. I guess over the years, I guess, you just sort of, like if I was living in Germany, who knows, or New York.
But some people, when they're 16 or 17, tend to have the same way of speaking for the rest of their lives.
Uh-huh.
But you don't. Now, tell me about coming to Oregon. Did you come by yourself?
Yes, I came alone after meeting, you know, meeting my husband. He was stationed at Hendricks Field.
I see.
In Florida.
He was an airman?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Army or Navy?
Army. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I guess you call it Air Force Base at Hendricks Field.
Where's Hendricks Field?
Hendricks Field is out from Sebring, Florida.
I see. Mm-hmm. And did you marry him?
After I came
after
here.
After here?
Yeah, after I came here.
Was it his idea to come here then?
For me to come here?
Yes.
Well, yes, he sent for me to come here.
Oh, now, I guess you better tell me where he had been then before he was in the Air Force.
Okay, he lived in Baker City and La Grande, and he lived out to Maxville and Wallawa. So he lived in this area.
Oh, had he grown up in this area?
No, really he was born, I think, in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And so he came years ago to work at the mill out there. I think he called it Bowman Hicks.
Oh, yes. Mill. Oh, yes. Yeah. The Bowman Hicks Mill, sure.
And so then he was out, you know, living out here. Uh-huh. So then he lived in Baker.
Do you know what attracted him to work for Bowman Hicks?
Well, his dad and his brother, they all was working for, I guess, a sawmill back in Pine Bluff,
I see.
And so whenever you're working then and you see an opening, you know, coming from him, well, that's where you go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they needed some men, so then his dad and they all came.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Did he say anything to you at that time about whether he thought that racial attitudes might be healthier in the West?
When you said, oh, you mean when I met him? Because he's about 22 years older than I am.
Well, I mean,
at
the time that he proposed that you come out with him, did he say anything about what he had found concerning racial attitudes?
Well, no, not particularly.
No?
Just, I was thinking about a girlfriend coming out to Oregon
there.
Uh-huh.
So you first came to what place out here?
Here in La Grande.
To La Grande?
Yes, uh-huh, to La Grande.
Because he was living in La Grande in order to work at Bowman Hicks.
Yeah, well, you see, he was living in La Grande, and then he lived in Baker City, so when he went to the military, he went from Baker City.
I see.
And his mother was living here in LeGrand.
I see.
So then when he came back from the Army, he naturally came back to LeGrand.
Do you remember your first impressions of LeGrand?
Well, yes, because I had never seen snow. And then I came here like in November of 45.
Yes. Uh-huh. How did you get here? What transportation?
Train.
Train.
And when I got in, I saw all the snow, and because I hadn't seen snow before, so.
Mm-hmm. Did that please you or displease you?
Well, I just thought everything exciting, everything's different, everything, So we just sort of hadn't seen anything like this, and you just sort of look at the snow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you said you were married after you arrived in LeGrand?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And where were you married?
And we got married in Baker. Mm. At that time, it was just Baker, nice Baker City.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I got married in Baker.
Why there?
Well, he used to live in Baker, and so his friend, one of his friends, we married at the courthouse, so one of his friends went to witness the marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did he have a car to get you over to Baker?
Yes. I said, of course, she must have had a car.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Although you could get by the train to Baker.
Anyway, I think he must have had a car there.
And then did you come back to LeGrand right away?
Oh, yes, because we went there, and he had friends there, and he used to live there. We got married, and then we came on back to LeGrand.
And where did you find a place to live in LeGrand?
Either his mother's house on 1303 Monroe, or either, I think this must have been the place, first place we stayed. And then later we moved in apartment building on Fur, and that was over Dave's Market. Dave Hutchison, did you know Dave Market?
No, I didn't.
It was right on the corner of Monroe and Fur.
This was one of the neighborhood stores.
Yes.
There were many of them in LeGrand at that time.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that was it was a big building, and so we stayed in an apartment over there.
Mm-hmm. And he continued to work at Bowman Hicks?
Oh, no. In fact, after he came back, that was a lot of time in between there, because he was being in the military, and then he came back, and then he bought Harry Potter's shoeshine parlor.
Harry Parcher?
Potter's.
Potter's? P-O-T-T-R-E-S-S?
Potter's. He's a Greek. Maybe if I say he's Greek, you can spell it.
But anyway, P-A-T-R-A-S, maybe?
I'm not sure how to spell it.
Okay.
But anyway, he bought he had 12 and a half Adams Avenue. He bought a shoeshine parlor, and he cleaned hats, and he sold candy, cigarettes, and that way.
Why do you think he wanted to do that after having worked in the lumber mill?
Well, let's see, that was, I don't know what was going on at the mill then, but then after being in the military, he was at the mill. Then we came to LeGrand, and he was in Baker. Then his mom's here, then in the military. Then you get out of the military, and he see these places for, that Harry wanted to get rid of, and so he just bought it.
Was it maybe partly that he liked the idea of working for himself better than for somebody else?
Well, that sounds like it would, because it before he went into the military, he, living in Baker, he had something he called a car wash, where he steamed out these big tanks.
Railroad cars?
No. You know, like the big, I didn't see this, is what he told me. Mm. He would clean out the big tanks, I don't know what was in the tanks, whether gas was in gasoline or these big tanks, he said.
Hmm.
So then I just presumed it was a truck that had
Sure.
So he was doing that, And also, he worked at, oh, two or three jobs, because I think he said he worked at Lee's, a Chinese restaurant, doing dishes there. Mm-hmm. And also they had, I don't know what they call it, a chuck wagon or something. He cleaned up there. So he was always doing jobs like that. Right. So then when he came back here, well, then here, he bought this. His mom's here, and he had this shoeshine place there, and block and hats, and mm-hmm. the Greek person had agreed that he'd like to come in and spend an hour up there every day. And so that's what was happening mm-hmm. when I came. See, I came in 45 because he got out of this service because, I guess, at that, seemed like at that time, I don't know what he's about, 42 or somewhere, that age was, I guess, not needed into the military, however that goes. When a certain age, they let them out. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. then he came, and so that was what he did. And so after that, he just did all, anytime somebody wanted some work, he'd right. have that and go do the other stuff.
If you came in 1945, then have you lived the entire 57 years in Le Grand since
yes.
then?
Yes.
So you have a lot to say, I think, about how you have experienced Le Grand and Union County. You must, because with that long a residence here, you've seen quite a variety of events.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Do you want to mention any particular event that stands out in your mind, either good or bad?
Well, just asking a question because maybe I could
sure. I was just giving you a chance to uh-huh. tell me anything that you thought was significant about your experience here. Okay, I'll ask you questions
okay.
then.
All right.
Now, if you were in the apartment above the grocery and Lucky, is that what he preferred to be called always?
Yeah.
What was his actual name?
His name was Lafayette.
Lafayette.
So you can see why they...
Wonderful. I love that name. That's a good Southern name.
Well, who was that, James Lafayette? Was he French or was he...
Lafayette was French.
Something in the history
yes.
book?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. He was a good friend of George Washington's.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, yes. Anyway.
And he liked the United States very much. In fact, I think some of the ideas for the French Revolution might have germinated in his mind because of what he saw from the American Revolution. Yeah. So there's a long tradition with that name.
Oh, yeah.
Lafayette Trice.
Yes.
Did he have a middle name?
No, they more or less call him Lucky.
Lucky.
Because he liked to, I guess, play poker, so I don't know whether they named that in the poker game or what, but they called him Lucky.
So other people thought up that name, he didn't?
All I know is they're Lucky. Even on his shoeshine place there, they had Luckies. On his furnace cleaning truck, they had Luckies mm-hmm. there.
That made him they made it a well-known name around
yeah.
Le Grand, I think.
Uh-huh. Not Lafayette.
Right. So what did you do with your time during those first few years after you were married?
Let's see. We have 7 kids.
Uh huh.
So that's the time.
I see what you were doing with your time.
Yeah, that's the time I take with kids.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And what spacing with those kids?
Well, some of them were 2 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I guess my oldest was born in 48, and 49, and then 52, or 54, 56, 58, 60. Mm-hmm. So, with kids and...
Yeah. Now, with that many children, I don't suppose you stayed in the apartment very long.
Well, no. We didn't stay there. I don't know how long we lived there, but then we bought our first home on this street, which is Madison. But it was 2 blocks down. So we bought our first home. That was... let's see. I can't hardly remember that then. It seemed like it was in the 1300 block.
Mm-hmm.
1309, I think.
Did you decide to buy a house there because you particularly wanted to live at that place, because of the price, or because you might have been unable to purchase anywhere else in town?
Well, let's see now. My mother-in-law was already living in that block.
Mm-hmm.
And the block, like where we were living in the apartment, that was in that block. Mm-hmm. And so that when this house came available, my husband knew the people that owned it. And so they weren't living here. And so he's the one made the deal
mm-hmm.
for the house. Because even the house next door, the people wasn't living there, and they bought that through, you know, somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
The people that owned the houses was living someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
My husband either knew them, and he just felt like this is a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
And he bought the house.
Were there a number of other black families in that area?
Let's see. Yes, I guess maybe at that time, in that area, there that was in the 1300 block on Monroe, and the street right behind it was Madison. So, yes, in that
mm-hmm.
block, yes.
Now, one of my interests is whether or not, at that time, even though several people have told me that the Ku Klux Klan didn't make much of an impression in LeGrand. In fact, one man told me he thought they were a bunch of damn fools.
Mm-hmm.
I've sensed from talking with a few other people that, as in many American cities and towns, there was, all the way through the 40s and 50s, racial discrimination, so far as housing was concerned, rather commonly. You think that was true here?
Well, I would say that I believe it to be so, but then in our case, you know, like this house was available, and so we, you know, got
yeah.
it.
Uh-huh.
And so we made the down payment,
mm-hmm.
whatever it was, and
mm-hmm.
then we paid it monthly until we
mm-hmm.
Got it paid
okay.
out.
So in that case, apparently you didn't feel any discrimination because you weren't trying to buy a house in
right.
someplace else in LeGrand.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because my husband had never owned a house. All he needed is a car. You know, he doesn't need a house because
mm-hmm.
He didn't have a wife then, didn't have any kids.
Sure.
So we got that place. And later years, then we moved up here. So those would be, you know, factual that I know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. During those years that you were bearing children rapidly, where did you do your shopping for food and clothing and other things you needed?
More or less went to the corner store, which was Huff City Food Store, because we even got food and my husband paid them off some out.
Now, Huff City Foods, is that where the Presbyterian Church Friendship Hall is now, or was that another
okay.
place?
Okay, that's part of it. At first, they were down here where Keeley's is.
Keeley's?
Uh-huh.
I don't know
that. The deli.
The deli.
Uh-huh. Achilles.
Oh, Achilles. Oh, yes.
Achilles, okay. Uh-huh. At that time, Hub City Food was there. And then they moved up. Called Chris's Food
mm-hmm.
used to be where Hub City took over. And then since we were in Hub City, after Hub City moved, we moved our town up to Hub City.
Okay.
Okay. And so we just trade there, because then we put anything we wanted, I went and got it, and he paid monthly for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then because we did shop at Safeway, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
So that was where. And then, like, the, you know, clothing stores, you go to, you know, the clothing stores are more or less J.C. Penney's
mm-hmm.
And Ward's.
Mm-hmm. Montgomery
yeah.
Ward,
right.
sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Was his income sufficient, in your opinion, to maintain a large family?
Really, I guess I wasn't. He took care of everything. So
okay.
I was just like one of the kids. You know, I went and got the food. He went and paid them. And even with the light bill, the water bill, he would go every month and pay them himself. And ours, and then paid his mother's. So then, like, we had the shoeshine place up here on Adams. And then we got janitor work. That was a West and Seacrest. West Jacobsonville. Mm-hmm. You know what
yes,
it is?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well, anyway, we cleaned that building.
I see. Uh-huh. At night?
Yes, we cleaned it every evening. At that time, Carl Helm, even the older Carl Helm,
yes.
He was in there. Uh-huh. And Sid Burley and those guys.
Uh-huh.
And so we would clean that every night and then on the weekends.
Would you tell me a little more detail about exactly what you did when you cleaned that building?
Okay, we'd go up every evening and with a dust mop and do the floors and empty the garbage and wipe around the whatever. I mean, you don't disturb the papers, but then you just sort of tidy up.
Dusting.
Yes, dusting. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And then on
windows.
Yes, he would do the windows.
Mm-hmm.
He did them for a while until he decided he wasn't going to go out there anymore and do the ledges because it was upstairs.
There. He had to climb out the window?
Yes, uh-huh. He'd be there and somebody would be there, you mm-hmm. know. And but anyway, that's what we would do every night. And then on the weekends, we would buff the floor, you know. We'd, and they had, all of them had the same restroom, so we'd,
mm-hmm.
you know, do that.
Mm-hmm.
We do that, and we got paid once a month. I don't know what we got paid.
How long did it take you each night to do those jobs?
I don't remember.
2 hours? More?
Really, really, I don't remember. Been so many years ago, I had forgotten we had done that work. But anyway, that's what we did.
What happened to the children when you were both gone?
Usually when we go, then we take the kids with us, because we didn't have them all at one time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We did the work until they would find somebody else to do their work, or either somebody else would move, because mm-hmm. they eventually moved out of there, that building
yeah.
there.
You just find a room to put the children in to play while you worked?
Usually they'd be in the hallway, because uh-huh. it's that long hall
mm-hmm.
there.
That could be fun, running up and down there.
Yeah, well, anyway, that's what we did.
Yeah. So you must have had keys to the building.
Yes, he had keys.
Mm-hmm. And did you carry all of your cleaning equipment with you each time, or did you have a place to leave it
no,
there in the building?
They furnished the cleaning.
I see.
Uh-huh, they furnished the cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
So they even had the vacuum and a buffer. They had all that. All we mm-hmm. did just went up and did the work.
Mm-hmm. Were any of the people who used the offices there around when you were doing the cleaning?
Sometimes they'd come, but usually we would schedule it to go in the evening, and usually
yeah.
in the evening they'd be glad to get out of there.
Yeah, sure, usually. Mm-hmm. Some of them might have had work
mm-hmm.
they needed to do, though, into the mm-hmm. evening.
And sometime on Saturdays when we go up there, we go, you know, after 1 o'clock, you
uh-huh.
know, and then we go up there. Sometimes somebody would come up, or
mm-hmm.
maybe someone's working a little. Well, we just work around them
sure.
until they leave.
Do you remember having any conversations with those people?
No, not particular. My husband, he knew everyone, so he knew them, but then I didn't have any conversations
uh-huh.
with him.
What did he tell you about why you should go and help him do that work?
I don't know whether, he even said why. We just had to work and your partners, and sometimes you just, you know, you get this and you just go and, you know, just like you decide that you might, maybe your husband might decide it's your job to cook. And I might feel like, well, you can help too.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
we just, you know, work together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I suppose then that you had the feeling that you really needed to do it because you needed the money.
Well, I suppose that was it
mm-hmm.
there, because, you know, he was paying all the bills and taking care of the business,
mm-hmm.
writing the checks.
Mm-hmm.
It was later years that I got to write the checks.
Yes. Well, you're ahead of the times there, don't you think? Because now, almost all man and wife couples work. They both have jobs.
Yeah.
It was less common then, but very common now,
yeah.
Especially in larger cities.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you said Lucky knew everybody.
Yeah.
Tell me about his personality. He must have been a very likable man.
Yeah, well, anyway, he knew people sometime out asking, you know, everybody, how lucky, and I would say, maybe to someone, I said, who's that? He said, really, I don't know his name, but I know where he worked or something. So they just, you know, cause since he had the shoe shine, well, everybody didn't get shine, but people, you know, coming in, and, oh, he going to the store, and, you know, so... Yeah, that's why they know how they know you there.
Yeah.
And at that time, let's see, Red Cross Drugstore was in there. It was Graham's Drugstore.
Yes.
And then they would sometime have coffee in the mornings or something like that. And he'd come through there and the building. And so everybody, you know, he went there.
Did he open the shop by 8 o'clock each day?
I don't know. Possibly. Possibly did.
Do you remember how many shoes a day he said he might have shined?
No, I don't remember that, but I do know it changed because he bought it, you know, during the time after he got out of the military. Well, everybody's getting the shoe shine. Everybody wore shoes, but they didn't wear tennis like they do now. And so that was times that I would come in while he's cleaning hats. I would shine shoes, and then there was times if he went someplace or something, or go clean furnaces, I would go open the place, and you know, after Harry leave, I would go in and shine the shoes, and I do know that during the summer, when the kids got big enough, maybe one or two of them, they stayed there and shine the shoes, and then the other went to work with him on the truck, and I do know they... So I don't know concerning the bookwork because he did all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I do know that as time passed, I mean, less people were getting the shoe shine.
Right.
Because they wore tennis. Mm-hmm. So.
And what else besides hat cleaning and blocking did he do in that shop?
Well, let's see. Well, besides, you know, selling candy and cigarettes and stuff like that, and then... he would block the hats at night, and so then people would come in there while it's open the day to pick up the hat or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so he did that for a while, and then some fella, Frank Thomas, I think it was, he let Frank Thomas move in there with the barber shop.
Good.
Put his barber shop in there for a while. I don't know how long it was, I mean...
Was Frank Thomas a black man?
No. He was Austrian or Greek or something. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he was there for a while, you know, with the Bobby.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you remember how long that store, how long Lucky operated that store?
Let's see. No, because I came here in 1945. It was going on then. And then we had, let's see, no, I don't know how many years, really never even give a thought, but I, you know, do know that he started taking motorcycles and ordering a Kawasaki motorcycles from somewhere. And then selling them, you know, a couple of them there. And so I don't know how many years that was, and I don't know why he to move from there, but then I do know he moved from there to on the corner of Fur and Jefferson and rented that. I think it was from Zimmerman, I think, there. And that time he had gotten slot car. Track, you know, those little cars. And so he had the slot car track there and a snooker table, a pool table. And he still had part of the shoe shine there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what year his mm-hmm. love, but from this one building he went to that.
Mm-hmm. What did you do for entertainment or recreation?
Let's see. Not much. Just we went fishing with the kids.
Where did you go fishing?
Grand
Ron River?
No, we go to
Owyhee?
Yeah. Oh, I guess the Owyhee Dam.
Uh-huh.
Right, quite a distance. We go over there for
mm-hmm.
fishing.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we do in the week. Some ladies and I would go to the sloughs, like around Alisel. We go, I'd go fishing there.
Now, Gertie Hibbert told me that there were a lot of suckers in the sloughs. Is that what you got?
No, we just see, well, I'm quite sure some was caught, but then we'd get perch.
Huh?
Maybe they call those suckers too, but I don't think
so. I don't think so either.
And so, it, you know, and besides church, we go, you know, go to church, and then...
Which
and
church?
And to the movie.
Which church?
Well, I've always gone to the Baptist church, and this is Black, Ron Black.
Where is that?
Boy, the
Does that still exist?
Yes.
Where is it?
This is on T Avenue, 1300 T.
Uh-huh.
There.
I see.
So, in fact, when I came here, it was going, and so then I, you know, that's where I've
mm-hmm.
gone.
Mm-hmm. And has the congregation increased or decreased in size?
Decreased.
Decreased.
Yeah. Because when I first came here, the group I was about... the youngest adult, and now it's down to zero almost, and I'm the oldest, and many have died, mm-hmm. moved away, and so.
There are fewer Black families living here now than when you came, aren't there?
Oh yes, and then there are people that I don't even know, you know, younger people,
yeah.
you know, that,
mm-hmm.
But anyway, when I came, it was quite a few, and they have moved away, and then a lot of the people that moved away, the older people, they've died out, you know, because you get word that
mm-hmm.
they died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, at the time that you first started going,
uh-huh.
and maybe for the first few years, did the church have a regular minister, full-time minister?
No, ever since I've been here, they've had a minister. We had a minister that would come twice a month, once or twice a month.
Uh-huh.
And that time it was Reverend D. Banks, and he lived at Walla Walla, Washington. It was either he or he would send another minister
mm-hmm.
to come. It was either Walla Walla or Hermiston,
mm-hmm.
Pasco.
What's the situation now with the minister?
Well, the last minister we had lived at Hermiston, and he would come once a month on a Sunday, and he was as old as we are, or older, and so he had vision problems. He had lost one eye, and so he didn't have...
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so he doesn't come anymore. He you know, realized that he wasn't going to fill it, so then we have another woman here that lives in the Grand. She will come once a month here. Yeah. And so really, we don't have enough to hold,
yeah.
but anyway, it's just sort of like keeping the doors open.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a mission there.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other activities during the rest of the month?
No, usually every Sunday we meet for Sunday school. Have Sunday school devotion and but then just on Sundays there. And then that third Sunday this Rebecca, she would come, and she I think is associate pastor to Bread of Life Church on off Covadet
mm-hmm.
there.
But in the earlier days, were there other activities?
Yes. There was let's see, at least three three nights a week because we would have mission group prayer and choir rehearsal. And plus we'd have Sunday school in the morning, 11 o'clock service, and then young people service, and sometimes we'd have a speaker that night. But most of those people, I say, are gone.
Yeah.
Died.
Were there any events that you'd call purely social, like dinners?
Yes. Usually once a month there, occasionally we would go to Baker. We'd go to Pelleton, Hermiston. They call it the Helping Hand. You know, our group would go be at this church, and then that group would come, and you know, just sort of like that. And then we had some friends at Mounting Home, and the whole group once came, a busload of them, just to sing and just have, you know, a good visit, fellowship. So like the Wilfongs, they were, you know, fellows of the church. Well, he died. So then when no people coming in, you know, not interested in church. Because with some of my kids, I guess three of them, they would go to daily vacation Bible school. And then they started attending the First Baptist Church downtown. And then I would take them, my kids, to that church in the mornings and pick them up and after it's over with. And then I would go to my church over here.
Why didn't you want to go to the First Baptist Church also?
I don't know. Because really, my membership was there. I was baptized in that church, First Baptist Church. And I had friends up there. And then with my kids in the Daily Vacation Bible School up at the First Baptist. And then, so then we just said, now you guys go to school. It was my idea, you guys go to school with these kids. So then they had Sunday school with them. And so with me, with the older people, because I know a lot of little things, because someone had said to me, you know, that I shouldn't be sending my kids to school, Sunday school up there. You know, what's wrong with the Sunday school over here? And but anyway,
what did you say to them?
I don't remember, but I could understand, you know, the feeling there too. But then, like I said, they went to school with these kids, and then over here, well, there wasn't a lot of kids my kids' age, so usually they're here at the Sunday school with adults, and so they didn't mind it, so then I sent them as long as I could.
Yes.
And then after they got a certain age, they said, well, why do we have to go to church? I said, well, just in that 1 hour. So you go there that 1 hour, and then after that you can hang out, you know, do all this other stuff. You're not going to be doing that much anyway. So.
Well, did you tell them that you thought that being in Sunday school would be good for them?
Yes. I had told them, well, at least you're putting in an hour at the church and you learning about the Lord, and so then if there's something come up where your dad's going to go fishing or something, then you don't have to go that day. You go with dad there. If he's going to go hunting, then you go with him.
Do you mean that Lucky wasn't much on church?
Well, no, he wasn't. Occasionally he'd go there. I think one of the kids, the daughter was baptized or something, he'd go. Other than that.
Just special events.
Yes, special events. Yeah, but before he died, he just laying around thinking, and he just, a friend would come by and talk to him about the Lord. So when I came back from wherever I was that day, here this, he was all feeling low and stuff there, and this friend had talked to him about the Lord, and he accepted the Lord. And so after that, we just sort of, you know, talked about, you know, the Bible to him then, but sometimes he, you know, wouldn't want to hear it.
Was he ill for a long time before he died?
Well, I would say it was because he had asthma. It was bronchial asthma mm-hmm. is what he had. And then he, with glaucoma, he had lost vision in one eye. And in fact, I would just sort of have to lead him around, take him wherever you have to go mm-hmm. there. And so he just sort of, sometimes the bronchial or asthma would just sort of, you know, it really sort of gets you down there.
Was he getting medical attention?
Oh, yes. He was taking, his medicine. Mm-hmm. He definitely was there.
How did you handle the need for a doctor? I don't suppose you had any kind of health insurance.
Well, he was on Medicare.
But I mean, earlier with the children, medical costs usually are fairly high, and if you didn't have a medical health plan, how did you manage?
I'm just trying to think now. We had one thing: the kids was never sick.
Oh, good.
Well, really, the kids was never sick, and then with seemed like the only insurance I was in that we had, he had it on me, maybe, or itself, like hospitalization, I think. But then only insurance we had on the kids was just regular, he called it a burial, you know, just in the event they died or, you know, something like that. But I don't remember him. We didn't have a lot of insurance on. The kids were never sick.
And how about you? Have you been healthy all the time?
Well, no. I've had sickness there. And,
requiring hospitalization?
Yeah, several times there. And we had beneficial mm-hmm. insurance there. So we... And then with him being, you know, on Medicare, then, you know, that took care of him.
Yep.
There.
Mm-hmm. Were you satisfied with the treatment you got in the hospital?
Yes, every time I was at the hospital, I was, you know, satisfied with the treatment they gave me.
Mm-hmm. Now, your children, during the elementary school years, did they go to Greenwood?
Yes, all of them went to Greenwood.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Tell me what you remember about what they said about school, or what you knew directly about that school.
Really? Let's see. Well, I guess that wasn't any problem, you know, at the school, as I could remember. You know, they just went to school, and no big deals.
Did they ever complain about how they were treated?
No.
Any more than any kids ever do?
No.
A lot of kids don't always like to go to school.
Well, my kids have always liked to go to school. And it's possible because if they stayed home, they had to work.
Oh.
They just, even if they were sick, they'd try to get out of here and go to school. Yeah. So I guess the school was pretty good. I had told my daughter that, you know, that there might be some kids, you know, that little girls that won't want to play with her, you know, because she being different. I said, but then... If that one don't want, I said there'll be always somebody else that want to play. And so she didn't seem to have any problem there. Just everybody, you know, as far as I know, they just got along okay.
Do you suppose that Greenwood had the largest population of all the city schools of black children?
Well, I believe so, because right in this area mm-hmm. there, you mm-hmm. know, is where... that most of the blacks live.
Maybe that made it better for them.
I don't know. Because like with, you know, with having the kids there, usually they, you know, have friends
Sure.
White friends, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. and just add black friends. Mm-hmm.
So. Were there ever, during the times that your children went to Greenwood, any black teachers?
No. And I don't think it's been any there. I don't, as I can remember, there. So.
You mean black at that school or at any other LeGrand school?
Well, it was. I remember it was a man, African man, that was at the high school. Seemed like when my kids was going there. So really, they haven't had any, many. I'd say many, or many, black teachers. Mm-hmm. Because really, they would have to come from someplace else. Because, you know, I don't know where they're, you know, I think if they had lived here, you know, you would have heard about them.
Probably.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So.
Did you ever hear anything about black teachers in Baker, or Pendleton, or Hermiston, or Walla Walla, or any other places around here?
Well, no, I never heard of any. In Baker, I don't know if it was, and not Pendleton either. I would know about mm-hmm. one of those places. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because sometime in areas, you know, like this, I know some fellows that came here. Let's see, they was working for the Forest Service. And they're usually from Alabama or somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they come here and they just wonderful. What do you guys do? You know, how could you guys live here? There are no other blacks. And so I guess maybe the people who live here, they're just making a living and taking care of their families and going fishing. You know, and they got a job. So that's what sometime they come out this way for. Maybe to get a better, you know, work to take care of your family.
And is that what you think? That that's the way it worked out for you?
Yeah, well, I came out here, and because my man was here, and then we had kids, and that take up all of the time. Mm-hmm. And so, one, when you know anything, a year passed, and then 5 years. Yes. And so you're still, you know, still hitting it. Because mm-hmm. I still work, even now.
What do you do?
I work with my brother-in-law at Western Equipment. We clean that building every night. Mm-hmm.
Who is your brother-in-law?
Phil Robertson.
Oh, really?
You know Phil.
Well, I know who he is, and I went to interview him.
Okay. And you know Neil, his son Neil,
yes.
Works at Albert's.
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, your brother-in-law, let me understand how that. I thought maybe your brother-in-law would be named. So is it Lucky's sisters?
No.
Explain to me.
Phil was married to my sister.
Oh, your sister.
Phil was married to my sister.
Was she living here also?
She lived here, but she lives in Walla Walla.
Sure.
Uh-huh. So he has another wife now, Lillian. So he and Lillian, they are together. They've been together more than 27 years.
Your sister died?
No.
Oh, you said
no,
she lived in Walla Walla.
No, she lived in Walla Walla, because really at one time, my sister and Phil was living right next door to me.
I see.
So sometimes it seems like if you're living in a place and that place is available or vacant, then you let mm-hmm. you know somebody
certainly.
Know, hey, that
certainly.
Was... Uh-huh.
Certainly.
Uh-huh.
So they must have divorced.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They divorced. Uh-huh. So, and so, like I said, I work there every night there. And so I'm on, you know... Social Security, and so then you work extra to have extra.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Does the name Joanne Douglas mean anything to you?
No. Joanne Douglas. No. Who is Joanne Douglas?
According to John Turner, a man who's lived in LeGrand for a long time, she was the madam at a brothel.
Joanne. Let's see. Yeah, Joe. I didn't know her last name. Joanne. Yeah, I know where that was, because my mom worked for Joanne.
When was that?
Let's see.
I'm finding out more about your family coming to Grand than I suspected.
Yeah, well, anyway, my mother, my husband sent for my mother to come here because the lady that they had working for her wasn't working for her anymore. And so my husband sent for my mom, which my mom was living in Lake Placid, Florida. Mm-hmm. My mom came out here to work for her. And it wasn't open too long before they closed it down again. And so when they closed it down again, well, then that way my mom had to get work elsewhere. Mm-hmm. It seemed like another woman came and tried to run it a little while, and they closed it down for good. Yeah.
Would it embarrass you to tell me what you heard about what it's like to work in a brothel? If it would embarrass you, don't tell me.
Yeah, well, really, I guess maybe my mom didn't know that much, but whatever she was paid to do, I mean, she did it, and because she was living here with me, and she'd do their laundry. She'd bring the laundry and do the laundry here, and then I'll take it back up there.
Mm-hmm.
They lived upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And so... Really, so I really don't know too much, because see, she's the one who worked there, and I don't remember her talking that much about it. Oh, she just said they're nice people, you know, Joanne, and so Joanne knew, you know, working at a place like that, she knew everybody in town.
Yeah. Now, Joanne was white.
You're right. Right? She's white, uh-huh. Yes. But there was times some of the girls, I don't know whether this was... Joanne had it, and then I don't remember the other woman. It seemed like something else happened, and another woman tried to run it a while or something. But they, at that time, you could, maybe you still can take a plane, go out here and take a plane. Because wherever they live, they just go there and take a plane, you know, go home. They could do the girls do the work. And then they have families. And then they just go out. I guess I must have had to take them because my mom didn't have a car then. Take them to the airport, and they take a plane back home where they live in the area. Yeah. So. And so I don't know how long it was here, but I do know that it was here because I knew this before my mom. I knew another lady that had worked there.
Uh-huh. You mean did cleaning work?
Yes, uh-huh, not actually doing the service and the fellows.
Yeah.
No, she just did the cleaning.
What was the location at that time?
Of the place that they ran?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We'd have to go in the alley. Let's see, it was on Adams Avenue. So you would go in Depot Street and... Let's see, you're on Depot Street, and there is Red Cross Drug and that alley. You know where that is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you turn there, and then you just go right around and park your car, mm-hmm. and then they go up the stairs.
Mm-hmm. And the stairs entered from the alley?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think that at the time that this was going on, that prostitution was known about, but might have been fairly respectable?
Do I think it was known about? Well, they had to know about it for it to, you know, for them to stay in business. And they had to know about it for them to close it down. And so just my hearing, you know, just my hearing about it, mm-hmm. That I don't know who their doctors was, but my husband would say, well, really, those women are safer than a woman you meet on the street, say, because they have to go to the doctor.
Huh.
And so I don't know who the doctor was, but anyway, I don't know.
You think those women had families elsewhere?
Well, sure they did. Mm-hmm. They had families elsewhere, like all, I guess, all of them, you see, on television there. They have family somewhere. They go, when they get dumped, they go home. And they make money and take care of their families with there. Some of them have husbands, too. Mm-hmm. So,
do you think that most of these women who did the servicing, as you put it, were white?
Well, I know they were here, up here. Because if it had been black women up there, my mom would have said something about it. But they were, all white girls.
Right. Let's switch subject a little bit. The railroad goes right by your place here. And since you've lived in this area, you have at least heard, if not seen, railroad activity during the whole time, haven't you?
That the train's going?
Yes.
And here? Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. And everything else that happens at this place. It used to be a major servicing place on the railroad. Uh-huh. By 1945, I think it still was. Uh-huh. So, what memories do you have of what was associated with the railroad, as far as you could see it?
It was just there and carried freight. And at one time, they carried the mail.
Yes.
And at one time, passengers.
Oh, yes.
There. And so, one time Amtrak was special. And so...
Well, did you just tend to ignore the trains that were going by all the time?
Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear them. It's just like you could have kids out there, out here. You hear them as long as, you know, if you don't hear them, then you want to, well, you go to the window. I don't hear those kids.
Yeah.
And so with the trains, because like, I've gotten used to them, and sometimes it will wake me up during the night. And so, you know, it's just the train, and you just go back to sleep. And then, but I've had people to come over, and it just wonder, well, how do you sleep with that train? And I said, well, I guess I've gotten used to it. And then I've had grandkids that lived elsewhere, and they come, and when they're smaller there, that just, they wake up screaming.
Yeah.
But then if once they're here a while, then it doesn't bother them anymore either. So it's something you get used to.
You'd have to cross the railroad tracks often to shop for food and clothing and go to Lucky's store and so on, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Was there anything going on among the people who worked on the railroad that caught your attention?
Well, no. No more than they are out. Because different times they've had flaggers, you know, out there before they had the crossing.
Yes.
There. And the train is switching, you know, doing... In fact, I have a son that still works for the railroad. Yeah, so... Just doing their job on the railroad. Uh-huh.
What does your son do with the railroad now?
He's a brakeman. So he goes to Hinkle, and sometimes he goes east, he goes to Ontario. What's the other place?
Huntington?
Napa. So I've seen them, you know, out there, they're switching, you know, and, you know, train going to and fro, and then they're switching. Mm-hmm. And like years ago, when the kids would go to school, sometimes that would be the excuse, you know, that they're late because the train was there.
Sure.
And they say, well, can't you leave early? Well, sometimes the train's there, or later the train's there. Because I used to get, sometime I would get up about 6:30, go swimming there, and just about 6:30, that train was always, it would be blocked, so you have to go around it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Where do you go swimming?
Up at the college. Mm-hmm. I don't swim now, I go water aerobic now. So.
Have you done that for many years?
Yeah, well, water aerobic, yeah.
Well, either swimming or aerobics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for a lot of years there. Because I do that. I try to go to water aerobic every day, even now.
What got you started on that?
Well, I guess for a lot of years, I couldn't swim. And so then I took my kids out to this the pool here in town, municipal pool, and though for some of them they learned to swim. And then when they have adult class, then I got up there and I learned somewhat. Mm-hmm. And so then when they had the college here, I went with a friend up there, and after I knew where to go, then I just started going up there and just, you know, going. I'm not a good swimmer, but then I could swim across and then rest and then swim back across. So,
has that been a friendly place while you've been there?
Well, yes, because really it's one of the friendliest places I know, because I usually like to be there because we talk about everything from recipes to losing the phone and can't find it, or getting these marketeer calls and all of that.
Yes.
It's just sort of like most of us the same age group.
Uh-huh.
Here, some young ones, sometimes college kids. So usually the things I go to are mostly friendly. Because then I go, years ago I bowled, and so then I started back bowling again with the seniors there. Mm-hmm. And then I go clogging, and this another woman I